of hell cannot prevail against right now. Come on, lift up your voice and shout in this place. Come on, somebody give him a shout of praise. Hey! Hey! My God, something is sweeping across the building right now. There's something sweeping across the building right now. Come on, lift those hands in the air all over this place. Whoa! Hallelujah, hallelujah. My. There's no telling what can happen in this building. Did y'all come ready tonight? Amen. You can just remain where you're at. You can go to your seat. You can run the house. You can dance. Do whatever you want to do. But turn to somebody next to you and tell them, I came to have a move of the Holy Ghost tonight. Go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20 is where you will find my assignment for tonight. I give great honor tonight to all of the ministry represented in this house. Great honor to Bishop Sutton, the entire New Life family tonight. Would you help me put your hands together one more time and honor this great church? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. I just want to make sure I understand that this is Power to Become Conference. And the theme this year is Bring Me a Minstrel. Is that right? Okay. Verse number 1 said, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazen Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Verse number 12, we find ourselves at the end of Jehoshaphat's supplication and prayer to the Lord. And he said, O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord. Tell your neighbor, thus saith the Lord. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Tomorrow, Go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Verse 21 says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Verse 27, then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. And for a few moments tonight, I simply want to preach, bring me a minstrel. Bring me a minstrel. I wish somebody would put your Bible down and one more time clap your hands and shout with a voice of triumph in this place. My God, somebody in this building. Wow! Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight. There are a few things in the text that I want to bring to your attention this evening. I don't have time to preach to you a pretty sermon in this house. I did not come with some theological dissertation, but I came with the word from God for some people in this building tonight. One of the first things I want you to notice in the text is that they found themselves in a situation that they had no answers to. They did not have a solution or a strategy. And when you get to these moments in life, it is our proclivity to have a mindset that begins to worry, that begins to fret, that begins to ask questions. How is it going to happen? What are we going to do about this? Is there anybody that knows what I'm talking about tonight? I'm perplexed. I'm not sure what the answer is. But there was something that Jehoshaphat understood. And at the closing of his prayer, he utters a statement that is a key to the revelation of his victory. He says, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Oh, I want somebody to remember tonight that when you don't know what to do and you don't have the answers and you're not sure what to take care of, get your eyes off of your enemy. Get your eyes off of your dilemma. Get your eyes off of the impossibility and get your eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but I feel like preaching to somebody. It's time to refocus. It's time to refocus. It's time to get your eyes off of trying to figure everything out and get your eyes on the one that has all of the answers, who holds all power in his hands. Tell your neighbor, God's got it tonight. Come on, tell him God's got it tonight. The second thing is that the word of the Lord comes through the voice of the man of God. It begins to declare to them, don't fear and don't worry, because the battle is not yours, but the battle belongs to God. Whoa! When we get that revelation, dear beloved, we understand that we cannot be defeated, that we cannot lose. When you are in the middle of a battle that belongs to your God, you are guaranteed a victory. You are guaranteed a win. God said the battle doesn't belong to you, but the battle belongs to me. Somebody needs to turn loose tonight and just put things back into God's hands. Somebody needs to turn loose tonight and just put your trouble back in the hand of God and say, this belongs to God. I'm just going to get my eyes on him. It belongs to God. Now this is powerful, because when God tells you this is my battle, you have to have an understanding of the power of divine assistance. We find this same kind of discussion when Joshua comes to the walled city of Jericho. And the Bible said that it was tightly shut up because of the children of Israel. And when he gets to the city, the Bible tells us that there is a man standing there with a sword in his hand. Immediately, Joshua's inclination is that this man is either friend or foe. And he approaches him and says, are you for us or are you against us? Are you on our side or are you on the enemy's side? And the response from the man is, nay, but I am captain of the host. Now, what makes this so powerful is the revelation that he was not talking to an angel. This was, in fact, a theophanistic expression of God himself. This was not some angelic being. It was not an archangel, but this was God himself. How do you know that, preacher? Well, number one, if you keep reading the conversation, at one place he tells him to take off his shoes, for the place whereon he stands is holy ground. This is reminiscent of a discussion between God and Moses. The second thing you'll notice in the text, if you were to go to Joshua chapter 5, when you remove the parenthetical separation between chapter 5 and chapter 6, there is a continuation in dialogue between Joshua and the man. And pretty soon the Bible begins to say that the Lord said unto Joshua. You know what God wanted him to know? That you serve a God that shows up to your battle. Joshua, you're not here by yourself, but I came. I showed up to the fight. I showed up to the battle. And there is something else you have to understand about the text. He said, I am captain of the host. What does that mean? I am captain of the host. If you were to go in your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 1, you would find the final summation of creation. And the Bible said that all of the creation of the earth was completed, and all the host thereof. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. He completed the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the mountains, the hills, the valleys, the lakes, the rivers, the animals, the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky. Everything was complete, and the host of them. When you begin to study the word host, you will find that it is the word tesabah. And the word tesabah is indicative of an army of people, an army of people that have been set aside to do warfare, and they are awaiting the signal for a particular battle. Now that's interesting, that the God of heaven, in all of his creative process, that he includes the completion of the creation of armies of angelic hosts. They are completed with the creation of the earth, and I can just see in my mind's eye all of these armies that are placed strategically around the earth, and they are awaiting the time and the place by which God has created them for, waiting for that moment that they are to be ignited into battle. And so when Joshua comes to the walled city and the man says, I am captain of the host, he is saying, I am the captain of the tesabah. When God shows up, you've got all of heaven that is standing with you. When God shows up to your battle, you've got all of the heavenly host that is standing ready. My God, I wish I had a believer in the building. When you come to your... And notice, when Joshua gets there, the man is already there. Joshua did not get to the city and then wait on God. God was already there. I want to tell somebody, you're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. God's already in place. He's already got your help. He's already got your answers. He's already got your miracles. When you get to the face of impossibility, when you get to the face of what seems insurmountable, you're not waiting on God. But God said, I'm already here. I've been waiting on you to get to this place, Joshua. I've been waiting on you to stumble up into this opportunity. There are angelic hosts, I believe, that were dispatched even to this meeting this week. Oh, I just need a few apostolic believers in the building. I believe that God has some angelic hosts that have been assigned to this house, that have come here. Here's the problem. You see, as apostolics, we have a difficult time believing in angels. We have no problem believing in devils, but we struggle with angels. You let a brother walk in the house and say, oh, brother, today the devil was messing with me all day long. You know what we do? Come here, brother, let's pray. We're going to pray against the devil. I bind the devil in Jesus. We start singing songs. My dance will crush Satan under. I mean, we believe in devils, y'all. But you let the same guy come in and say, hey, guess what? There have been angels with me all day long. I've been in the presence of angelic hosts all day long. We just kind of... We believe in devils, but we struggle with believing in the angels. If you go over to the book of Revelation, if I've got this right, the Bible said that 1/3 of the angels were cast out of heaven with Satan. Is that right? Is that proper theology, Bishop Sutton? Is that 1/3 of the angels were cast out of heaven? Now, I'm no mathematician, but I think that is a fraction. Is that right? 1/3? 1/3. And so, you know, if you kind of think about that, 1/3 is gone. That means that there is still 2/3 of the angels that are still in heaven. And the last time I checked, 2/3 is greater than 1/3. As a matter of fact, if I'm doing my math right, that works out to a ratio of 2 to 1. That would mean that you have a 2 times more likely chance of an angelic encounter than you do an encounter with a devil. And if a devil decides he's going to mess with you, there are 2 angels to the 1 devil, and 2 angels and 1 apostolic. 1 devil has no chance. I came to preach the power to become tonight, that there are angelic hosts that are in this building tonight, that are ready to work with humanity, that are ready to work. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you right now, for what God wants to do in this last hour, we've got to get a fresh revelation of the workings of the supernatural. We cannot accomplish in the arm of the flesh what God wants to do in the supernatural. I'm believing God for his help. I'm believing God for angels that are working on our behalf. Come on, am I preaching to anybody in the building? I need God to step into my situation. I need miracles, signs, and wonders. God said, this isn't your battle. This is my battle. I'm going to fight for you. Now, what's interesting is right after he says that, he proceeds to give them directions on how to find the enemy. If you go down, he said, they will come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Joel. Now, hold on a second, God. I thought you said this was your battle, not my battle. But now you're telling me where to find the enemy. God said you're not going to have to fight it, but you're going to have to face it. You're not going to have to fight the battle, but I want you to show up to the battle. And when you show up, the enemy's not going to be looking for you. You're going to be looking for the enemy. I don't want you to be in a posture of defense. I want you to be in a posture of offense. God's raising up a generation in his church that is walking with boldness and power. And we understand we're not afraid of the enemy. We're not afraid of this. Come on, somebody. You're not going to have to fight it, but I want you to face it. Why? Because when I take care of the enemy, I want the last thing they see to be your face. I want them to see you as the last thing that they ever look at before I destroy them. Woo! And so Jehoshaphat says it's time to go to battle. And so the Bible said that he looks over and he begins to call for the minstrels. Bring me some singers and grab all of the musicians. Come on. I want the praise team to come real quick. I want you to get all of the minstrels together because we're about to go into battle. And he had enough revelation as the king of Judah that praise goes first. And so when the minstrels got together and they went to the battlefield, there was something supernatural that began to take place. The Bible said that as they began to sing and to praise God, that the Lord sent ambushments against the enemy. There's something about praise and worship that stirs up the Lord. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord God strong and mighty. The Lord God mighty in battle. Something happens when we call his name. Something happens when we begin to lift him up. There is something about our praise and our worship that begins to stir up all of heaven. I believe there are angels in this building tonight that are awaiting the signal of warfare from God's people. I believe there are angelic hosts in this place. And what is unique about this battle is that when the Lord began to set ambushments, the Bible said that the enemy became confused and the enemy started to panic. And instead of fighting with God's people, they began to fight amongst each other. I seem to remember a similar story when Gideon and his 300 men lifted up the trumpets and they broke the pitchers. The Bible said the enemy began to fight amongst themselves. There was a level of hysteria that began. Can you imagine the scene with me? Over here is God's people and they're praising God and the music's playing and the people are singing and the enemy starts getting a look of confusion on their face. What's going on here? What are we supposed to do? I can see in the supernatural that there are angels that begin to turn the enemy toward each other. There are angels that begin to shift the battlefield position. I don't have hardly any voice left, but with what I've got left, I want to tell you this. I did not come here this week just to listen to and talk about praise and worship and its power, but I believe that tonight there's going to be a demonstration of what we've been preaching about this week. I believe that tonight there's about to be a demonstration of the power of praise and worship in the church. Come on. We didn't just come to preach about it. We came to demonstrate it this week. I wonder if there's any churches in the building that are facing some giants that you're believing God to bring down. You're facing some battles and situations that you're believing God. He said, I want you to get out there and go find the enemy. I want you to get your hunting clothes on and track them down. I tell you what I feel like doing right now. If you're in this building, I want you to get something in your mind that you're believing God for victory. And I want you to get as close to the front of this house as you can. Come on, I want you to track it down tonight. Track it down tonight. There's some walls that need to come down. There's some miracles that I need to take place. There's some answers I need from heaven. Come on. Come on, let the devil know I'm not on the ropes. I'm not on the defense. I'm not running. I'm not afraid. I'm not.
Come on.
Come on. Somebody begin to take an offensive posture. We're coming after every blessing. We're coming after every breakthrough. We're coming after every promise. We're coming after everything. The battle's not yours, but the battle belongs to God. There is a phenomenon in football known as the 12th man. The 12th man is something that was kind of discovered years ago when football teams would come together, Bishop Sutton, and they were on the field, and the team that had the best crowd represented there, they would be cheering and shouting for their team. Now you understand that you can only have 11 players on the field at one time. And they would be in the middle of the game. And when they would get the ball, the crowd would go crazy. And the fans would begin to shout and make noise. Inevitably, it would be time to turn the ball over. And now they would be on defense, but the crowd would continue to shout, and would, as a matter of fact, they would turn up the volume and begin to shout even louder. What began to happen is that it got so loud in that stadium that the other team couldn't even hear each other. They were trying to call out plays and they couldn't hear each other. And so confusion began to break out and they didn't know what to do. And they would start fumbling the ball and messing it up. And they said, the crowd is the 12th man. We don't need you on the field. We just need you to stay there and keep on shouting. God said the battle is not yours, but the battle belongs. All I need is for you to keep on shouting. Keep on shouting, and I'll set the enemy in array. Keep on shouting, and the supernatural will begin to unfold. Keep on shouting. Here's what I want us to do tonight. How many of you understand that God is not bound by geography? And the Holy Ghost is not bound by these four walls. Raise your hand if you're here from another city or state or church. Look at all over the house. All over this building is representation of God's work all across this country. But while you're standing here in this service tonight, you are an ambassador for the field of harvest that God has placed you in. And while we're right here preaching in Alabama, there's something about your praise and your worship that can transcend your geography. And when you begin to release your praise and worship, God can release a victory in your city, in your church, in your school, on your job, in your family. I believe that tonight there is about to be a culmination of a demonstration of God in this place. As we begin to praise and worship, there is going to be a supernatural wave, a supernatural earthquake that begins to emanate from this place all across the United States. Come on, somebody's, God's touching them already right now. I need you all over this building. I'm calling for the minstrel. Bring me a minstrel. Bring me the song. Bring me the instrument. It's time to praise him. It's time to lift him up. Come on, somebody, lift your voice. There is something breaking loose. Go, 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 go. Come on. God's about to confuse the enemy in your city. God's about to confuse the enemy in your city. Come on. Lift your voice. Victory is imminent tonight. Victory. Yes. Go. Go. Somebody go on the offense. Somebody turn loose your praise. Turn loose your worship. Go. Go. Come on, lift those hands. Give them a Tonal praise. Give them a Hallel praise. Come on. Somebody Shabbat the Lord. Lift your voice. Yes. We came for a breakthrough tonight. We came for a miracle tonight. We came for a demonstration of God's power tonight. Go. 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 Come on. There are angels among us tonight. There's an angelic host that we're stirring up in this place tonight. Come on. Set the battle in array. Set the battle. Come on. Strongholds are coming down. Chains are being broken. Diseases is being healed.
Mountains move, chains are loose, we break through.
Go!
Mountains move,
chains are loose, go! We break through. Turn it loose. Everybody turn it loose.
We break through.
Come on,
yeah. We break through. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey.
We break through.
Yeah.
We break through.
Yeah. Talk in tongues.
We break through.
Somebody prophesy while you shout. Somebody prophesy while you shout. I shall live and not die. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I'm above and I'm not beneath. I'm the lender and I'm not the borrower. Go! Go!
Go! Release your glory.
Yes!
Release your rain.
Come on!
Release your power.
Come on! God's unleashing your miracle tonight. God's unleashing your victory tonight.
Your glory.
God's unleashing. Come on. Shout like your victory depends on it. Shout like your breakthrough is waiting on it. Shout. Go. Bring me
happening all over the building. There's a breakthrough unfolding all over this house. Go. Come on. The back of the enemy is about to break. The back of the enemy is about to be broken. About to come to pass. That thing you've been believing God for is about to happen. Somebody shout. Go. 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 Come on. I feel the touch of angels' wings in this house. I sense the presence of the angelic host. Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, Lord.
Come on. Come on, young man. Shout in the Holy Ghost. Come on, young lady. Dance in the Spirit. Come on, young couple. Shout under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Praise Him for your victory. Praise Him for your breakthrough. Praise Him. You've got divine assistance. You've got angelic host. Go!
Holy Spirit!
Holy Spirit, burn in flame.
Yes! The chains break. Shout until the wall comes down.
Your power.
Shout until you got the victory. Shout until you got liberty. Go. Go. Give him a hallelujah praise. Turn loose and give him a hallelujah praise.
Release your power.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Don't you dare back up. Don't you dare slow down. Somebody press. Without my breakthrough, I'm not leaving here without victory. I'm not leaving here without the power of God working for me. receiving the Holy Ghost all over the building right now. Yeah. Pick them up, put them down. Pick them up, put them down. Pick them up. Is shaking your city with your praise right now. Somebody is shaking the gates of hell in your city with your worship right now. Come on. While you're shouting right here, God is working over there. Somebody give him a shout of praise. Come on. Praise him, Sacramento. Praise him, Fort Myers. Praise him, Birmingham. Praise him, Memphis. Praise him, Orlando. Come on, somebody. Praise him, Durham. Come on, God is working. God is working. The angels
are working with you right now. The supernatural is unfolding right now. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Go, go. Strongholds are coming down. Strongholds are coming down. You're tapped in right now. This isn't the time to stop. Somebody press. Somebody smite those arrows. Smite those arrows until the enemy is completely destroyed.